I thought I had an idea of what praying in the Holy Spirit would. After the first year or two, I thought, I know about this. I didn't know the outcome and where all of it was going to deliver you eventually. That part I didn't know much about. And didn't until it touched me. The guy changes as much as he can, and then you know you need help. You look up and you think, I've got the best God has to offer, and so what else is there? What you're trying to describe is when the love of God begins its journey for fullness. The problem is you can't keep praying in tongues and be not on that road. You got to do one of two things not to get there. You have to stop praying in tongues. You have to stop. Because as sure as you get on and pray, he's not praying your personal will be done. He's praying that his be done. And no matter what you're called to be, your destiny is still the fullness of the love of God. Still. I didn't see how without that you... Well, Paul was real blunt about it. He says, you have nothing. I couldn't understand that before, too could. But I'm beginning to now. That I didn't know where the edification would take me, I thought, after supplying me with the giftings and things needed for ministry. And when I first come to Tulsa, I came by invitation to preach at a church and ended up moving here, and always knew I would. Because the first 3 months of prayer, I saw the Maybe Center, and I'd never been there before. And then a spot vision, and it was sitting there off the freeway, and the cars were backed up, trying to get off the freeway to the meeting. I recognized this area because of the Maybe Center, the round one. So people were trying to get off. It looked like it was 75. It was off a little ways from it. And they were trying to get to a destination. And that's when he said this. Tulsa's in revival. But having that way back when, and when he called me to come, then I remembered the vision and moved to Tulsa. It wasn't real, real long. And first of all, my office was on Memorial, and that's where I met Tim. Tim had been working with several ministries you know of. He's got that gift. And he came up to the office and he was opening an office to help ministries like this and can come and get help, and he'd help this and straighten his out and get out of it. But he worked with us for a while and he just dropped everything and went with us. Well, as time went by, you know, there's no good way to leave somewhere. And you don't do that. Don't go to town and have a revival. And I don't want to tell you the extent of it. It was powerful move. All things happened. And so when he told me, he says, I called you to come here because I want revival. And that's why these are up there. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa in revival. So I realized, even though this man wanted me to become associate and everything. Anyway, when I come over here, then Russia opened up with Rick Renner, and I went with him to help at Russia. And the other pastor that I was involved with and wanted me to go associate, he also went. So that's when I got to sit down. I didn't know how important, like I do now. If you only knew what ought and stuff, how it affects your answered prayer and your, you'd put your offerings back in your pocket. You know, if you only knew. So I got a chance, and I told him, I'm so sorry about the way that it, but I couldn't get it out of the inside of me. He says, no, your vision doesn't fit in his. We all want to see Tulsa in revival, but the road there is another story. It's quite the other story. And so I got to sit down and talk to him. And so it was when the wall came down, and you could have meetings like you couldn't have them before, and I got to go to the square, and there was so many people saved and healed and things that they wanted a water baptism. So being just not long founded again and coming into peace with each other. And so people didn't have a lot of cars. There wasn't a lot going on at the time. And so they got to the meeting for the baptism any way they could. And we got a green Olympic swimming pool that had been neglected for the water baptism. But not that bad, just a green tent. When the chlorine runs out and you... Ooh. Well, it was pretty long, and there was competition, Olympics, so it was marked off to where they could have lines. So Rick come and he says, I need some volunteers. And I said, what for? The water? I'll help. And I think another one or so said, I'll help. So we're down there, and we're standing in our lanes, a couple of us. We're waiting for the people to come out, start coming down. La, 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 la. I don't, think that they had the same standards we did about some things. But, or maybe they just didn't bring extra clothes. But when they come out from behind the changing place, started getting in the lane, some underclothes, some not from here up, wasn't talking about which sex, not from here up, some. And so, boy, you should have seen us trying to baptize, you know, in the name. In the name. So, you know, to get that close with somebody and to work. And so anyway, guess what? When he announced it the next night, he had full cooperation from everybody. Said, who'll volunteer every hand? I couldn't ever figure out why. You know, it's easy. So I explained, and as God began to concentrate here, then he would pull me aside for times of fasting and prayer and that kind of thing. And that was a key that praying in tongues unlocked. And I thank God for what it's given me. But I'll say it again. This path leads. Don't you know what you're edifying yourself towards? I mean, I can't. How do you be in ministry for 40 years and think you got it together and preach on love and stuff? Then find out you didn't know so much. For him to say something that casts out all fear, and it never fails. Confusing parts is when he'd say things like, "I can move all mountains." Yeah, have all faith. Though I spoke with tongues of men and angels, I mean, I had that gift. Though I'll have all these things present with me, if I miss this, it's not good to find out later. If I miss this, I didn't have much. I didn't have much. Now, I've seen really great miracles, and I've watched people operate in really great miracles and do different things. I've been in A. E. Allen's meetings, Leroy Jenkins' meetings, Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. You see things there. I remember A. E. Allen played us like a violin for 5 minutes before he let us see that the girl could see. He held his hand over, "Do you believe that she's going to see when I take my hand off of her? Do you? Do you?" And he's holding it. "Do you believe that she'll be able to see me? Do you? Do you? Huh? What say you? Do you believe when I tell her to take your finger and put it on the end of my nose? Do you think she can do that?" We knew she was blind. So he goes, "Open your eyes when I tell you, and put your finger on my nose." She goes, "Oh my God, I can see. I can see." Boy, that leaves something with you. And he had all of this. He had all of this. And I hate to talk about this part, but I'd rather talk about it now than later. Well, he ended up preaching some things, and I don't think I need to go any further. He had some kind of arthritis or something that was just hurt him so bad he wasn't able to stand it. And I think in a book that I read a little bit on it, I think the author was right. But rather than take dope or pain medicine before the healing, because it disables you, you can't hardly teach or nothing yet, most of the pain meds. So we think that he drank maybe to ease the pain where he could sleep and things, and that when he did get drunk or he was got with a DUI and some things like that, that he probably had some kind of reason for it. I choose to believe that. But there was other things. But Well, you can have all those things. I watched her. He got Rosalie and mine's first wedding ring. When he took the offering, you know, yeah, that doesn't have to be money. What do you have? We got our first one. It's a diamond, too, on minimum wage. Gee, what a gift. We felt good about it. So to have all these things and not have yet the destination where this praying could bring you, I'd hate to think of that. Now that some kind of crossing is beginning. What do you think you're going to see here? What he is operating in our midst. What he is. Did you know how bad that he wants to... That bad word is bad to describe bad. You know how much he wants to move for us? Can you even begin to fathom how much he knows? And if you're on one side of it, he can't do anything, Ollie, but you're on the other, there's no limit. You know how much he wants to do something, but he still keeps that one thing sacred. The most costly thing heaven's ever sustained is you and our right to make choices. Because without it, there's no fellowship. I don't care if you are him who is everlasting, eternal. I pay such a price to know that when you lift your hands and say, I love you, that it's really coming from you. Or a program. If he, if God went up the whole Florida coast, whoosh, and every grain of sand was an entire universe, and he was traveling at the speed of light, he'd still know who you were. He'd still know. And still, one-on-one with the tutor, manifestation of God, the third person, that come to be our teacher. Come to be our teacher. To guide, not press, push, or pull, or drag. It's part of that fellowship to guide. Well, I don't want to go, then he's not going to make you. He's come to do what? Guide us into all truth. Do you remember that scenario I came up with? Jesus taught in parables. You need to learn to do that. They cross all barriers. A timber wolf is a timber wolf no matter what country you find him in. So they understand immediately what you're talking about. But I use parables quite a bit. And I could just see the Godhead fellowshipping around the round table. They were talking about our creation. Wanted a family, kind of. Wanted to talk about our kind of creation. And so they'd run it ahead. Okay, we'll create them. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Father says, well, look at this. We gave him a whole planet and a garden. And look what he did. He went with the devil. He says, well, what can we do about that? So they look ahead. And the Son says, Jesus, he says, the Word, he says, I'll go pay the price to get him back. So they go, all right. And so then they go, whew. So he goes, pays the price, and they get to that place and they look at it into the future. And even though they have a new nature, they still was messing up, wrong talking to that, not fellowshipping, don't know him or that. So he says, what are we going to do? Look, we thought maybe they'd pray as long as they had a new nature. Look at this, they don't even pray, are they? They go programs. And look at them. What are we going to do? They're not even praying. So the Holy Spirit steps in and says, do you suppose that if I went and made my abode with them, and then knowing your will for them, I could pray that whole will out, and I'll do the praying, so one member of the Godhead will do the praying, and the other members will answer it. Do you think they'll do it? Not much. The great day of Pentecost, the revival subsided, and our last one coming out of a darker age was the turn of the century, Seymour. Holy Ghost exploded, it took off again. First thing they're doing, they got holiness and power, and so they get real worried about sin, you know. Oh my God, I bit the wrong side of that apple, I'm cursed. Pray for me. So we lived in a lot of condemnation in ultra holiness churches, but yet it began to spread, and pretty soon they eased it off, and then they radical graced it, and pretty soon it'll die out again, and if he wasn't coming back, it would all go over again. And he studied us a couple of thousand years. He knows what works with born again. Just like he studied the dead people for 4,000 years, he knew how to conflict them. But Paul said this, I've got a special assignment, messenger from Satan, big one. And you know the reason he gave? Because of the abundance of his revelations. This guy's got to be stopped. He didn't have 66 books in his lap. He came up with the Bible. He's visited by Jesus, but he didn't spend 3.5 years with him. Where's he getting this stuff? Where's he getting it? Same place you are. That's why it's hard for people to drag you off in error. Because the Holy Spirit is praying those mysteries, and why would he pray them if they wasn't going to manifest? I understand all of that real good. That's what the book's about. That's what we preached and taught these years. And I was right. I'm on track. I'm doing what I'm supposed to. And crowds had built up. And pretty soon, is there an easier way to believe God or something? You know, anybody got any grace? Hey, grace teaching? I need some help. Help. Sir, I'll... Warm, lukewarm, or hot? Lukewarm. Okay, go over to the gate that says radical. Well, he said all these things. You could have the power, you could have this, you could have that. But for the first time, I'm starting to realize what he was talking about, missing the boat. And to be a major chapter in the books he sent us to get grounded on, to be a major chapter, wouldn't mean I'm bringing something up that I wasn't supposed to, or, you know, that was just necessary, or this will pass over it and kind of see what it says. Well, what messed me up so bad is I saw the potential over there. I told you about that 10-story visitation I got in Brazil. I got to see why, finally. As I got to put my foot in that love for a minute, in that, if it wasn't the fullness, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was. Because for a minute, this is what changed. Remember where I left off before? What's this going to do when I turn loose of it? Can you prophesy? What's it going to do? Are you sure? How do you know? Because you're sure. Positive. In God's truth, we don't understand, see? He can't lie. He can't. He cannot lie. He's not capable of it. He can't. Do you know what this means? If you really believe it, he can't not come. So far, what would you say has been the biggest help to believing? This. I thought it was the power till I seen what some of those end up doing. He loves people so much. He uses people a lot of times to a lot of destruction. I meant it. The outcome is devastating on sinners because they say, see, fraud. What do you think when sinners see television evangelists? Money. What's it going to do? You were right. What's it going to do? Are you sure? I'm telling you what that minute was like. You know, I always measured this with a hospital full of kids that are twisted and maimed. Blind, deaf, dumb. Have to be put somewhere for keeping. This has always been a motivator for me. What do you tell a kid? You're different, sweetie. You're different. Why, Mom? Why? Anyway, as sure as I know what this is going to do, for 1 minute, it stayed on me that I was going to the hospital not to just pray for them. That was the minor part. To empty it. The chaos. How'd you like to get about 200 or 300 people get their kids home in the surrounding area overnight? You think the government wouldn't get involved? The mayor? What happened here? Same thing when Jesus, Moses parted the Red Sea. And matter of fact, I'd have been in the Pharaoh's army. I'd have thrown my spear down and went with him. I mean, the ocean opened up. Get on it. Instead, I got drowned by it. Walked on water. Walls of Jericho came down. I like it when he put on demonstrations in front of whole nations to stop one of them. I like it. Well, he asked for this out of my life in those 3 months. I was off the job and prayed in a remodeled bowling alley that was condemned. And I just built the front part where you paid and got your shoes. Made a prayer place there. Started preaching. But it was way back there. that I saw this. Maybe center. In another one, I think I can see fields of people. Well, what are you excited about now? I didn't know where the praying in tongues was going to lead to. At the end of that 8th chapter of Romans, where he talked about none hell throws at me can separate me from the love of God. And if you read Romans 8, you know how he got it. He says, it can't separate me. Lately, all those verses, you can't serve God and mammon. Deceitfulness of riches and the ultimate takeout, the lust for other things. Persecution, affliction, cares of this life, deceit of riches, lust for other things. But what I'm seeing is a correlation on those top two. He wanted me to understand what love done to the money, what money did to them. But I tell you what, if you've ever seen money turn loose, that's what will be doing it. I wanted him to explain a little bit more about that to me. And this is how he did it. But I don't say, everybody's not called to do what I'm a mouth. In the body, a mouth. That's all. No upgrades or nothing. It's just a mouth. It's my call, a mouth. But if I became a primary mouth, and, you know, it take media over and shake a nation up pretty bad where maybe half of them would get saved or something, you know. Well, the devil, he's got extras and reserves and everything he'll pull from to come and take you out. And that's why you'd see it so seldom. I was with Brother Dinnerkin. When I was called back home, we had 700,000-800,000 people. It wasn't anything to see 3,000 saved and 300,000 or 400,000 filled in just a night. I was there. I saw it. I ministered for him. He called me to come before God took me a step backward again. He says, you've got to learn this stuff now. And I had to tell him, I can't come. And that was for now. When he died and went home, they had to have an aerial photograph of the crowd that turned out to his funeral. So if I'm a mouth, the hell that would come against me would be what's doing the neutralization out there. It would just be my turn. He's messed around with my family. He tried to kill me once. A couple of times. But the others was my people. There wasn't a direct hit. I'm going to kill you. That three times. Two times in Rick's meetings. Another time in... No, I guess it was in Canada once, and Rick's, I'm going to kill you. So I'm getting bored. He come on up behind, I'm going to kill you. And I turned around. I said, if you could kill me, you'd already done it. Looked him right in the eye, and he stopped and backed off. And I said, come out of him, in Jesus' name. Then I turned my back on him. I could feel him breathing on me. Then he backed up against the pulpit. Staircase. Well, platform. And all of a sudden the crowd started yelling because he raised his hands and was getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And I pulled a reversal on him. So I don't know how he keeps people from having the day of Pentecost again. And they brought the sick in from every quarter and they were healed, every one. And this the shadows of Peter and all of that falling on them and jumping up and running off. And I do know that he studied it and he's taken up arms and he tracked these guys down and replaced a lot of it with false religions. Did everything he could to shut them down into the dark ages. Then we came out on the Seymour revivals, climbing on them. And that was a late turn of the century. And he was a praying man again. Praying man. It got the big issue then was, could you speak in tongues anytime you wanted to? I guess he decided you could. So if I survive the devil on that level, then the call I'd have loved to have if I didn't have the mouth, I would survive the entrepreneurship of billions being put into national revivals and the receiving of it and the giving of it. But I'm a mouth. But he's coming. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know where Steve and Bill is. Bill was on his way to a preacher meeting when he went home. And Steve, his family broke off. And he was just, you know, he got born again before that. But it hurt him and he just spent some time in the room and he couldn't sleep and things. But he took something to sleep, like those times you take something and then you wake up and you don't know that you took anything. Take it again. And when we rushed him to Sepulpa, he had been dead a few hours, but I asked him to leave. And they let me in an emergency room alone with him. He'd already been raised from the dead about four times. Alan did once. He'd been dead 11 minutes or so. They raised him back up. They jumped off a train. It killed him. When they shocked him, he came back. When he overdosed on morphine and called me up like a little kid, and I turned him over to God. He was scared to death. And the second time I saw a vision connected with it. This big monstrous angel. You should have seen him. He's big. He had a Roman uniform on, standing in this part of the house where you come in, and then the bedroom was off over here. And that was it. I seen the front room and he was by the door. He's just standing there like he's on guard. A couple of little devils come through the wall and all he did was turn around and went like this. And they fell squealing and back out. Well, Steve was on the other side of the wall, see. And he didn't admit this to me till later. He says, Dad, the guy I got morphined up with, he overdosed too. They went on a fishing boat together. When Steve got up, when he came out of it, he rolled him over and his eye was dried out on the pillow. And pulled it out. That's his second call. But the first one, I don't know, I was alerted somehow. I saw the vision. And Steve was out of his body and he was looking back at himself. And he saw his friend over there on the bed. And then he looked back over at towards the wall and he saw an outline on the wall of glowing where the angel was standing on the other side. And he said, he turned to him and said, get back in there. Next time he came home. Well, He died and got killed several times. But I know where He is. I know where He is. See, that's what I found out when I stayed with Him that last time when He didn't give Him back. And that's okay. I know where they are. So He's not stopping me. There. The next one was a direct hit. But you already got part of that story. So what are you saying? I'm saying praying in tongues is on a course with the fullness of the love of God. And you can't keep doing it without Him delivering you there. Do you know the devil don't even understand what you're praying? The Holy Spirit representing the mind of God for you. Can you imagine Him doing your prayer, then answering it for you? How do you lose in a deal like this? Only thing He can do is, you know, take the tongues is not for today. Oh, shut up. God. No. 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 I was at least going to bring the conclusion after He answered the 3-chapter Jewish question. And 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, offer your body up a living sacrifice. So, what He was saying, therefore I beseech you, brethren, basically what He was saying, based on something I already taught you, in the 8th chapter, go on, offer your body up a living sacrifice. Be not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I speak according to the grace that was given to me, Paul was saying, as an apostle. You know, he was saying, I didn't earn this. I didn't merit, I didn't deserve it. It was by His grace. Then He gave me the measure of faith for my calling, and He gave you the grace for yours and the measure of faith for your calling. He winds it all up there. He says there's many members, but one body. And all of them don't have the same calling. But you got the measure of faith for the grace He gave you. And I got it for the grace He gave me. That's why you can't go, I didn't have enough faith. That He gave you the measure for it. And then my lightning quick mind figured out what a measure was. He gave us a measure. No, it's the measure. What's the difference when you can't make either one work? He gave a measure. My lightning quick mind clave to it one day. It goes, hey, a measure is part of a whole. Well, that's what he said. A measure is part of a whole. And I got the measure for my call and my faith. And Paul says, I didn't deserve it. He gave me grace for the apostleship. And then he gave me the measure of faith to walk it out. Yeah, well, I'm just a toenail on the big toe. I'm part of the body, aren't I? Oh, sure, you keep it in balance. Well, I should say the big toe. Big toe's complaining, griping. Because he's shoved in a stuffy shoe that smells. He says, I have somewhat against the eyes. Well, who's talking down there? I'm the nose. Oh, I'm the toe. I got something against the eye. Well, what's that little measure? It has its own language. The women folk really dress it up. And then they even talk with it. Will you go out with me? No. Get all the attention. And what am I shoved in a sock with a toenail inspection? And that's where I spend the day balancing you. Yeah, but your job's important. I mean, how could I get anywhere, Harley, without you? when the calling was by grace, so you. Then the measure of faith he gave you for it was by grace. When we walk it out, how are we going to take the credit for it? Because the mouth got all the display and the newspaper coverage? What? Is he going to get a greater reward than the rest of his body that delivered him there? No. The power that's in money, the power that's in a call like that, we can't get those rocks out of there. Go buy that great big truck, hire 70 people for 6 months and move it. You got that kind of power. I need 10,000 men in Japan to do something for me, and you put it in an envelope and send it over. And 10,000 men go because of what you said. That's power. Most people don't survive it. What will? The love of God. I'd love, if I wasn't called to this mouth off, a mouth, I would love that other calling, the helps, the governments, especially in the one that handed the billions over and just enjoy the daylights with it, that it didn't have no power over me at all, just like the guy I'm sending it to. He's doing his job, I'm doing mine. What an exciting time. It was Gileanum. Ne non de lato schiaccia vebo, vode alleenza. Isilo hora patienes, tienum massi, amassia matuquesici. For be encouraged and be strong. There'll be a day that you'll rejoice and be glad. And you'll understand and rejoice for the time that it took to build the right foundations. Who kissed? Hear this. Here, you kissed. My thoughts ran off. Hear this. I have to. I see. The foundation that's forming because of media isn't not only going to be strong here, for not only will you be used here, but you'll be used in other places. Look at it. I just saw that vision from 15 years ago or 20, getting in the shower. Had the vision in the showers preaching somewhere. And I saw a veil around the earth, and earth was here. And then there was a bright area here, then a veil, and then a real bright area up here. And at that one, people were, they were fighting their way up, and they got into that veil, and I said, that's the principalities and power of the air, isn't it? And he said, no. He answered that right away. He said, that's the flesh. And then I noticed somebody would get their hand up, and it would glow like the atmosphere that was beyond. And they'd come back, and they'd lay a hand on people, and you'd get healed. And some of them's minds would go through, and oh, you could teach the hind leg right off of a dog. And some of them would get both hands or their brain through, and also in the helps and government organizational thing that they. But some of them started breaking all the way through, and when they did, they shot like a spark into a dark region and kindled a raging fire. Have we seen that yet? No. Is it still ahead of us? Yes. I hope it's not that last day revival he was talking about. I'd like to survive a little longer than that. But the paths are getting wide, media. Narrow is the path that leads to, yes. Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Many go thereon, yes. Yes, Odomakeres. Delahuimeskilita. For as this comes together, I know I'll understand more and more about the journey into that love and what it'll mean to you. Something that never fails. Has no fear. Paul concluded that 8th chapter. I'm convinced that not height nor death, things to come, devils, persecution, affliction, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Not death. Nothing. Closing statements. We'll be about 15, 20 minutes yet. What will be present? If it is a full-blown compassion will show up, which is a tangible presence of that love in such a way that Jesus was moved by it and he healed them all. What was that statement on the end of? Romans 8, when he says, us who are in these bodies waiting for the adoption process to be made complete. We groan within ourselves. And also the Spirit helps our infirmities because we don't know how to pray as we ought. We make intercession. And he that knows the mind of God knows his mind for us and makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Then we know all things will work together for the good of them, love God, and called according to his purpose now. So that's what he's bringing to a conclusion. He says, I'm convinced that nothing at the end of that chapter. Then he has three on the Jewish question. Then he says, go on, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. Go on in the 12th chapter. Go on and offer your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind that you might prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will for you.